This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with co-host and Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
Food companies seem to be growing in importance to the local and regional economy, and to talk about that, our guest is Todd Blount, the president of Blount Fine Foods of Warren and Fall River. Thanks for coming.
Good afternoon.
Some have seen the food industry in general as growing in significant importance in Rhode Island, in southeastern New England, almost the Silicon Valley of food. What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's a good idea. And if you think about Rhode Island, we've got so many great natural resources when it comes to food, both from the land and the sea, but also from the culinary side with the cities of Boston and Providence, in the schools like Johnson & Wales and the great restaurants and the ethnic background we have. So if you take all that background, it's a super place to grow a food company.
Please give us a quick sense of what your company is, the product line and the range of jobs there.
So Blount Fine Foods is really a prepared foods company. We make refrigerated and frozen soups for restaurants and retailers around the country.
With seafood, a prime focus, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have such a great seafood background, and we're known for seafood. But as the company's evolved, you know, we've kind of mixed the seafood background in with all other types of food, meats and vegetables and all kinds of other things.
How did you see that opportunity?
One of the things about seafood, while it's in our backyard and it's readily available, for the American palate, it's kind of an international resource, and as we eat shrimp and salmon and the big seafoods that we're all comfortable with, it became a little bit more of a competitive marketplace. And while we were processing clams locally, we found it to be fairly competitive. And to think about how could we grow, we needed to get into a marketplace where there was kind of an unlimited market opportunity. And to be honest with you, there is somewhat of a limited palate for clams. You know, not everybody in the world's eating them every day. And while we were faithful to that business since the 40s, it gave us the chance to be the best and biggest clam chowder processor here in New England. And we decided that let's stretch that clam chowder expertise into a whole bunch of other soups like broccoli cheddar and beef chili.
On the retail side, you saw that opportunity. And these are oftentimes many of the same customers, right?
Yeah, because when you think about it, a lot of us like to shop on the edge of the supermarket. Going into that middle aisle where the cans are, you'll go in there to get the dog food and the things you got to have, maybe some pasta sauce, but we love the outside. We love the deli. We love the meat department, the bakery. You know, our soups are really focused towards a, you know, ready-to-eat meal that you can make a last-minute decision about. And being refrigerated and fresh, it gives you that great sense of having really a restaurant meal at home.
You folks were expanding as the economy was receding. How did that work out for you?
Well, there was a lot of things going on dynamically in our business at that time. We knew we needed some more space because we had just begun to invest in this retail market, as I just mentioned. Plus, we wanted to be true to our restaurant customers. While they were struggling during that time, restaurants took a much bigger hit. People still had to eat, and we found the opportunity to invest in retail. Retail takes a lot more space. Lots of things to put tops on cups and labels and sleeves. And so we took that opportunity where contractors were, to be honest with you, fairly hungry at the time. Interest rates were low if you could get a loan, and we were really fortunate to get some great funding and capture the right contractors at the right time. So we expanded our plant twice really in the last 8 years during some of the more challenging economic times. And we felt that while others were retracting and, you know, removing their sales departments or promotional spending, we went the opposite, where we built new infrastructure and new promotions into the product.
And that's paid off. And do you see yourselves continuing to grow? Do you look at even expanding again anytime soon?
Yeah, we've just in the middle of an expansion now. One of the challenges we have as a company, and I think all the food companies, especially if they're in a niche area, have to deal with like seasonality, where there's certain ingredients that are popular during different parts of the year, as well as certain finished products that are just special. So for us, soup is a cold weather product. While we go down to the beach, we still have chowder. It's still popular, and that's important to us. As a nation, we tend to eat soup on the colder weather days. So we have to put a lot of capacity into those fall and winter months. So we've been building both in our Warren, Rhode Island plant and in Fall River, both of those facilities, new equipment, things that make product come out faster, as well as new space. So Fall River, we just put on an addition to chill down more soup that will be finished this August in time for the next busy season.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with Todd Blount, the president of Blount Fine Foods. Continuing with that thought about equipment and technology, it's always changing. How do you keep the employees up to date with that?
What we used to do when we were shucking clams, I mean, that was had its own expertise, but it was something you could see and touch and was something that pretty much anybody could do without too much education. Today's world with refrigeration, with electronically driven equipment, robotics even, we spent a lot of time both with the community colleges and then on the culinary side with people like Johnson & Wales to really stay on top of what's both innovative as well as technically advanced. Our equipment, you know, is no longer run by gears and whatnot. We've got a lot of servo drives and things that are run by computers. We're fortunate enough in our seasonality to, in the spring and summer, send a lot of our employees out for outside training as well as inside training. And we find in order to keep the employee even interested in the job, they want to be able to advance in their career, but they also want to advance in the technology. So we talk about manufacturing in Rhode Island as being somewhat challenged. Some of that's because people don't want to work in a factory. But if you have the opportunity to teach them new things and also have the opportunity to buy new equipment that allows them to work on and advance kind of their stimulate their mind as well as their career, I think it's great for both the company and the employee.
As you pointed out, one could at one point walk in and if you were good at it, shuck the oysters or the clams. Can someone walk in off the street and be hired at your company, or what do they need for training before they step in?
Yeah, the good news is we have all levels of jobs, but in today's world of food safety, it's almost 2 days of training before you can take your first hour on the production floor. And food safety is it's a hurdle to get in the business, so that helps us from a competitive advantage. But for the entrepreneurs, that's something that they're all being educated at the same time. So there's that base level that in human safety and food safety is really important. But we have the great news is we've got opportunities at all levels.
Now, are you finding there are a lot of manufacturers, and that you are a manufacturer, talking about a skills gap, you know, that they're having trouble filling enough openings, or in a case of electric boat, they're looking forward, they're going to be hiring a lot of people, they're really worried about finding enough people. Are you finding the issues, the sort of the soft skill issues that some other manufacturers are finding to be a problem in filling jobs?
Well, you know, the soft skills on, you know, when it comes to maybe supervisory aptitude, as well as some of the hard skills of just machine operator on a real technical piece of equipment. Both of those are challenging to find. We are mostly training folks from maybe a position that was a little less skilled and giving them the training and then promoting them into those positions. We do try, especially again on the food safety, and we have a lot of food science as well as the culinary side. Those folks, we do need to have some expertise when they come in the door, and it takes a long time. We will look for those skilled positions sometimes 3 to 4 months before we find the right person.
Getting back to food products, is the changing American palate, does that figure into your products? I'm thinking Latino-oriented foods, Asian foods.
Yes. You know, we have two kind of active things changing in both the product mix. The good news is our product line is such that it's evolving every year. One is the health attributes of food. People are so interested in a clean label. They're interested in things like organic. They want to know where their food came from, and they want to be able to read everything on the ingredient list. We've been really fortunate to address those needs. Also, as people watch the Food Network, as we've got more of a diverse population, all these people are trying each other's kind of culturally exciting food. So one of the things we've been able to play with is more of like beans, for instance, from a Latino background, and really helping us understand how to use things when it comes to rice, beans, different flavors. We have a new mulligatawny kind of from a really diverse background. So we try and bring a lot of different flavors together. We are really fortunate with soup because when you think about it, we can meet everybody's needs, both from a flavor standpoint or a health standpoint. If you want to be indulgent, you can have lobster bisque. You want to be healthy, you know, we can give you a great black bean soup.
You were talking earlier about tying into the latest trends. Are you worried about it becoming almost like a fashion item where it's in, it's out, it's in, it's out? And does that play havoc with your production lines, or are you able to deal with that kind of change?
It does play havoc with our production lines. And it took us about 20 years to be able to understand how to be flexible. And I think that's part of what it means to be a manufacturer today. You know, if you're going to make the same thing every day for 3 years, even food, you could do overseas. But when you need to be both quick to the market and be really listening to the trends and understand what the consumer wants, and then build your actual factory around that, and then have your employees also work around that kind of seasonality or that kind of changeovers, that's where success has come. And for us, one of our main customers is the club store market. And club stores, they like to have a treasure hunt feel when you go in, and maybe there's something new every time you go. So often we change almost all of our formulas every year and give people something new. Sometimes it's the same formula and a new pack size. A lot of times it's a new flavor that might be of interest to them this given year.
Okay, Todd Blount of Blount Fine Foods has been our guest. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.